Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in the statutes, in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Thanks be to God.
John chapter 3, verses 1 to 16. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you can hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Our next hymn is
chapter 3. If you've got a Bible, you could open it to John chapter 3. There will be, along the way, some slides to help people follow. And children, you should have a sheet, some of you, to help you follow along. And I'll prompt you when we get to some answers for the questions. John chapter 3, where Jesus maybe particularly looks at, in verse 7, he says, Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. And boys and girls, that's on your sheet to colour in. You must be born again. In a little while, we're going to go downstairs and I'm going to baptise Galia and Suki and Amy. And it's important to remember, if you're not used to church, if you've not been very often or ever seen a baptismal service, it's important to know that when I baptise them, I'm not making them into Christians. There's nothing special about the water. There's nothing magical or religious about the water that we use. The water isn't doing anything to the people who are getting baptized apart from getting them wet. It's not special water. But baptism is really a sign to show that something has already happened in the lives of the people who are getting baptized. It's a sign to show that they've died to an old way of life and they've begun a new life. And sometimes the Bible describes that new life in terms of resurrection. So just as Jesus died on the cross for our sins and then rose again, so when we baptize someone, we're saying they've died to an old life where they were just living for themselves, going their own way, and they've been raised to a new life where they've been forgiven their sins and they're following and serving Jesus as their king. But another way the Bible describes this new life is in terms of being born again. And that's what we see here in this amazing chapter of John's Gospel, John chapter 3. Jesus says, you must be born again. Now, I've got some pictures to show you. If you have a look on the screen, hopefully we can see some pictures of some certain people looking very sweet, very lovely. I've labelled them up just in case you didn't know who was who. There's Amy and Suki and Gali. We can have a vote later on who's the cutest. I don't know who you would say it was. I think Suki probably wins it in the middle there. And these pictures, of course, were taken not long after these three people being baptized, after they were born. And there's something wonderful and exciting, isn't there, about seeing baby pictures. There's something wonderful and exciting when a baby is born. We get really excited. We get really kind of giddy and joyful when a baby is born. But today, we're here to give thanks, actually, to God for Amy and Galia and for Suki, because something even more wonderful, even more amazing has happened. Not only have they been born, but they've been born again. And I want us just to think for a few minutes about what that means. I want to ask and answer four important questions. Maybe you've never really heard about this before. What's this born again business? Let me try and help you to understand what's happened to these people and why they're being baptized. So let's ask four questions. The first question is this: who needs to be born again? Who needs to be born again? And the answer of the Bible, actually, and boys and girls, this is on your sheet, is we all do. We all do. Jesus here in this passage is saying to all of us, me and you, you must be born again. And this truth that we all need to be born again is really hammered home for us when we think about the man in this story who Jesus says to, you must be born again. Who was this man? Well, we're introduced to him in verse 1, and it says this: there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So can you picture this man? He's called Nicodemus. And humanly speaking, he had so much going for him. He had so much to commend him to people and to God. Verse 1 tells us that he was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee. That means he was a law-keeping, he was a rule-keeping man. The Pharisees were fanatical about rules and laws. And they were so obsessed with laws that they'd added loads of their own laws to God's laws in the Bible to try and help them keep all the laws. So they were really keen to keep the rules. They were known to be moral, to be ethical, to be good people. We're also told here that he was a ruler of the Jews. So he was an important leader. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. That was the kind of the ruling people amongst the Jewish people, and the highest court of the land. So it was his job not only to know the laws, but to make sure people were keeping the laws. You keeping the laws? And to deal with you if you weren't keeping the laws. And then in verse 10, we're also told that Nicodemus was a teacher of Israel. In fact, it says he was the teacher of Israel. He was a man who not only had to know the law and help people keep the law, but also to teach people about God and his laws. He was the person you would go to for spiritual advice and teaching. So he was a law-keeping man. He was a leader of a religion. He was a learned man. He was like the Archbishop of Canterbury and the professor of a Bible college and the MP for religious affairs, all rolled into one person. Humanly speaking, he had so much going for him. Everyone looking at this man would be thinking, wow, if God's going to let anybody into his kingdom, into heaven, it's going to be this man. Young people, maybe you know people at school or sports clubs or wherever you are, that, you know, people who are, they're good looking, they're great at music, They're amazing at sport. They get all the best grades. They're popular with everyone. They're the teacher's favorite. They always get picked first. And maybe that kind of person, oh, they've just got it all. And spiritually speaking, that's what Nicodemus was like. He had it all. And so no one was going to be more shocked than this man to be told by Jesus, you must be born again. Nicodemus, you've got so much going for you, but actually, it's not enough. Actually, Nicodemus, what you need is a totally fresh start. You need a totally new life. Children, that's on your sheet. You need a new life. You need to be born again. And what a shock that must have been for Nicodemus. It's a little bit like a stuntman jumping out of an aeroplane. And he's hurtling towards the ground. And it's time to pull his ripcord. And he goes to pull it. And the parachute doesn't open. It's not working. And suddenly he realizes that the thing he's trusting in, the thing he's packed on his back to save him from dying, it's useless, it's broken. That would be a terrible shock, wouldn't it? To pull it and it doesn't work. And here was a man then who was thinking, when it came to him and God, he thought, I'm fine, I'm safe, I'm in God's kingdom. After all, he was good, he was respectable, he was clever, he was a religious leader. And yet Jesus here, really, he's kind of telling Nicodemus, look, you're trusting in all these things. They're like the parachute on your back, but they're no good. They're not going to save you from death and judgment from God. And actually what you need, Nicodemus, is a completely new life. You need to be born again. And what I'm saying to you is that if that was true for good old Nicodemus, then it's true for me and it's true for you. Actually, the message of the Bible is that when you were born into the world, we weren't born as, you know, good little angels, sweet little angels. We were actually born as broken sinners. The Bible says we were spiritually dead. We were people who were obsessed, actually, in our hearts with ourselves, not with God, with ourselves, not with others. By nature and by practice, we choose to do things that God says not to do. In the Bible, we choose to go our own way, live as pleasing ourselves instead of God, and we deserve God's judgment and condemnation. And what this story is showing us is that no amount of religious knowledge and performance and learning can save you from that problem. It's a bit like a car with a broken engine. And people like Nicodemus are people who come to that car and they polish it and they wash it and they put air freshener in it and they give it new paint on the outside. But it's no good because the problem's not on the outside. The problem's on the inside. The problem is that there's no engine. It's a broken engine. And actually, it's the same with you and me. What we need is not new paint, but a new heart, a new start. And Nicodemus, he'd never seen this. He was a religious instructor. He'd never got it. He'd never seen that actually he wasn't right with God. And he wasn't part of his kingdom. And if he was going to be saved from his sins and enter God's kingdom and have a real relationship with God, what he needed was God to break into his life on the inside and change it. And I'm saying that if Nicodemus, with all his credentials and all his good performance, needed that, then you and I need that too. Jesus says in verse 3, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Who needs to be born again? I do. Nicodemus did. You do. And that leads us to the second question. What does it mean to be born again? What is this being born again business? Well, let me say first of all what it's not. This is not like going on a diet or giving up smoking. This is not like a New Year's resolution where year after year you decide that things really will be different this year and that lasts a few weeks and then that's it. No, being born again, actually, it's not something that you do at all. It's something that God does in you by his Holy Spirit to make you go from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive. Boys and girls, That's on your sheets. God does this work in you. And it's such an amazing thing that the Bible says it's like being born again. It's like having a completely new start to your life. On the outside, you look the same. You've got the same clothes. You've got the same body. You might have the same wrinkles. But on the inside, God has made you a new person who can trust and love and follow Jesus. Now, on hearing this, Nicodemus, he's totally confused, isn't he? In verse 4, he says, Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's saying, Jesus, even if I curl up small into a ball and get people to push me, I'm not going to get back inside my mum. Look how big I am. Look how small she is. This is ridiculous, isn't it? This can't happen. To which Jesus basically says, look, Nicodemus, you've totally misunderstood. I'm not talking about physical birth. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. Verse 5, he says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Flesh gives birth to flesh. That's talking about physical birth, and we've all had that. But in verse 6, Jesus says, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said you must be born again. In other words, Jesus is saying it's not enough to have a physical birth. You also need a spiritual birth, a second birth. And in verse 5, Jesus describes this second birth as being born of water and the Spirit. What was he talking about? Well, actually, Jesus here is referring back to some words in the Old Testament that we read earlier or heard from Kathy earlier from Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel was a prophet who was serving God 500 years before Jesus was born. He was living at a time when God's people, the Israelites, were in a total mess. They were being completely unfaithful to God. They were worshipping other gods and other religions, and they were going their own way, and God had punished them. And he'd sent them off into Babylon, where they'd become slaves. And it seemed like there was no hope for them. And then God sends Ezekiel. And he has this amazing promise of a day when everything was going to be changed. And you can see the words. We're going to just read them again. And I want you to watch out for those words, water and spirit. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take out the heart of stone and your heart of flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. God was promising a day when he was going to cleanse these people from their sin, from their guilt. And he compares it to being washed with water. Just like boys and girls, when you get muddy on your hands or your face or your body, mum or dad might say, go and wash yourself clean. Get some soap and water and wash yourself clean. God tells his people, I'm going to wash away all your sins. Boys and girls, that's on your sheet. Sins will be washed away. And not only that, he promises, I'm going to put my spirit inside you. I'm going to change you on the inside so that you can start to love and serve me. And as we come back now 500 years later to John chapter 3, Jesus is on earth, you can see that this is what Jesus is talking about. In verse 5, he says to Nicodemus, you need to be born of water and the Spirit. Nicodemus was the teacher of Israel. He would have known all about Ezekiel and the promise. And Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, you need to have that experience that Ezekiel was talking about. You need your sin washed away and your life transformed by the Holy Spirit. And this is what happens to you when you're born again. This is what's happened to Amy and to Suki and to Galia. When someone is born again, they start to become aware that they're unclean. They start to see that they haven't done it all right. That they haven't loved God and loved other people as they should. And they start to see that they're dirty on the inside and that they deserve God's condemnation and judgment. And yet at the same time, they come to see that this amazing person called Jesus died on a cross in their place for their sins, for their guilt. And that if they trust him, they'll be cleaned on the inside. Like water washes dirt, they realize that Jesus can wash them spiritually clean and make them perfect in God's eyes. And more than that, when someone's born again, not only does God clean away their sins, but he also puts his Holy Spirit in them, changes them on the inside so that they can start to trust and love and serve Jesus like never before. Children, I wonder if you've ever got a toy and the battery runs out. So annoying, isn't it, when your batteries run out. And you go to use the toy and it's not working. And you read, oh, I want to use this remote control car. I want to use this little doggy thing that flips over and walks around. And it's just not working. Why is it not doing anything? And you realize the battery's gone. There's no power. And therefore, there's no life in this toy. It needs power. It needs new life. And when someone's born again, the Holy Spirit comes. And children, this is on your sheet. He comes and he gives new power, new desires to trust and love and serve Jesus. And yes, if you're a Christian, you'll still mess up, you'll still fail, you'll still sin, you'll still get it wrong every day. Until we get to heaven, we're never perfect. But the difference now is that we've been forgiven, we're right with God, and we have new power to start saying no to sin and yes to Jesus. I want to live his way. I want to serve him with all my failings and weakness still. I want to serve and honor Jesus now with my life. The Holy Spirit even gives you power to start repenting and saying sorry as a Christian. When you get it wrong, you realize, I've got it wrong again. I'm sorry, God. Help me to go again tomorrow. The Holy Spirit is doing that. So being born again is an amazing thing that God does in you, where he cleans away your sin. He gives you new spiritual life and power. That's what's happened to the people who are getting baptized. And I want to ask, has that happened to you? Do you know anything of that cleansing, forgiving, power-giving work of God? Have you been born again? Thirdly, let's just ask, how does this happen? How on earth does this happen? Is this something you can do to yourself? Is this something you can control? Well, Jesus gives us the answer in verse 8, where Jesus says this, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Children, I wonder if you've ever flown a kite. Have you got a kite at home? Ever flown a kite? When I was little, my brother got into kites and he bought this massive kite. It was 6 feet wide. It was called a Wild Fang stunt kite. And we used to go up the field outside our house. And I was only little and I was trying, I asked to have a go. And I was trying to control the kite, but basically it controlled me. You know, it would just pull me along. It would pull me over. If I jumped, you know, I would go a lot higher than I would normally go. And it was in control of me, really. And it reminded me, the power of the wind, it reminded me that I wasn't in control of the wind. I tended just to crash the kite because I just couldn't control it. And that's the thing about the wind, isn't it? We're not in control of wind. We can't make it start. We can't make it stop. You can't say, stop wind, and it will stop. It's just there. It has a life of its own. It's invisible. It's mysterious. It comes and goes. It's outside of our control. But when it's there, you know it, don't you? You see the effects. The curtains, you know, shake. The kites can fly. The trees blow. The hurricane comes and houses are smashed down. Well, Jesus says it's the same with the work of the Holy Spirit in someone's life. It's like wind. It's invisible. It's mysterious. It's outside of your control. It's not that someone decides, I'm going to be born again. It's because God, in his mercy, decides that this is going to happen. You know, it's like your physical birth. How much control did you have over your physical birth? Were you there at the beginning going, right, I vote, it's time for me to start existing? You know, you weren't, were you? It wasn't anything to do with you at all. And it's the same with the new birth. It's not something you do. It's something that God freely, lovingly, graciously, sovereignly does in you. And actually, we should be so thankful for that. Because the Bible says if it was left down to us, none of us would be born again. None of us would get into God's kingdom. None of us would have a relationship with God. Because there's no one who seeks God. There's no one who naturally chooses to go after him. We're all born lost, hopeless, helpless, heading to hell. And it's only because of God's great love that he takes the initiative. He chooses to break into people's lives, to give them new birth, not because they deserve it, but because he is a good, kind, gracious, loving God. And this is a humbling truth. It's humbling because we love to be in control. You know, I see this with our children from the very youngest age. They want to be in control. I saw it again this week when our little daughter says, I want to do it. Let me do it. I want to have a go. No, I'm going to do it. We want to be independent, don't we? But when it comes to the new birth, the Bible says you can't do it. God has to do it in you by the Holy Spirit. And that truth should humble you. It should show you that actually you're helpless. And it should make you call out to God and say, God, I can't save myself. I need you to rescue me from sin and give me this new life that Jesus is talking about. Please, Lord, will you do this in me tonight? And that leads us to the final question. How should you respond to this message of new birth? And actually, that's a really important question. How should you respond? It's a really important question because after what you've heard tonight, you might be in danger of thinking, well, if being born again is something that God does to us and that we don't do ourselves, then does it really matter what I do? If being born again is something God does, then I'm just going to sit around and wait. And if God does it to me, then great. But if he doesn't, well, there's something I can do about it. But please notice that that's not what Jesus says to Nicodemus here, is it? Instead, he finishes his conversation with Nicodemus by telling him and telling us that if you want to be rescued from sin and hell and have a relationship with God that lasts forever, what you need to do is believe in Jesus. And it's all summed up for us in verse 16, where Jesus finishes the conversation and says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Children, that's your last answer. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. When we're born for a first time, we're born into a world of death. But when someone is born again, they're born into a life that the Bible says is everlasting. It's a new life where your sins are forgiven, where your heart is changed, where you have a new relationship with the God who created you, and that relationship begins now and it will last forever. And Jesus here is saying, do you want to experience that? Do you want this everlasting life? Do you want this new life that we've been hearing about tonight, where you're forgiven, where you have a real relationship with the living God, where you have a new heart that can really love God, where you become part of his kingdom? Do you want to experience all of those things? Then the Bible says, then believe in Jesus. Trust yourself into the hands of Jesus. Rely upon Jesus as your Savior. That's why Jesus came into the world. That's why God the Father, in love, sent his Son. He came to die on a cross in our place for our wrongdoings, so that if you trust him, you won't perish. You won't die and face the judgment of hell, but you will face and have everlasting life. And this is what happens when someone's born again. The first thing they do is they see that uncleanness in them is that they trust in the Lord Jesus. They trust in his death on the cross. And what the Bible says, look, don't wait around and wonder, have I been born again or not? What the Bible says to you is, trust in the Lord Jesus. Put your life into his hands. Put your confidence in him and his death. And if you do that, you can know that God is at work in you. He has given you new life. He has taken away your sins. you won't perish, but will have everlasting life. So let God do his work. Let him worry about that. You must believe, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wonderful thing it says here is, whoever believes in him won't perish. Whoever is a wonderful word, isn't it? Because it scoops us all up. It picks us all up into it and says, wherever you're from, whatever you're like, whatever you've done, however old you are, however young you are, doesn't matter who you are, if you will believe, trust in Jesus, if you will believe that he lived on earth 2,000 years ago, that he lived in your place, a perfect life, died on the cross for you to bring you forgiveness, rose from the dead, is alive today. If you believe that he can give you new life, and if you will pray to him and ask him to come into your life and give you this new life, this forgiveness, this eternal life, then he will. And you'll begin a relationship with him that lasts forever. This is what's happened to Amy, Suki, and Galia. This is why they're being baptized. They've been born again by the power and the grace of God. How do we know? Because they've put their trust in Jesus Christ. And they've received eternal life. Have you been born again? You must be born again. Have you trusted in Jesus as your Savior? Whoever trusts in Jesus will not perish, but have eternal life. We're going to sing another hymn.